It's harvest time, and it's good maybe to ask the farmers how their harvest is going on and how they've done, how the silage has been. Has it been good this year? And potatoes and other crops and vegetables, how everything has gone. Well, I have to say, it hasn't been a great harvest in the Moody vegetable patch this year. I'm going to show you some of our products that's come in. The carrots. We've got loads of carrots, but you need a magnifying glass to see some of them. They're really, really small, and they didn't do that well this year. Potatoes. We didn't get many potatoes today. There's very few potatoes, and they're very small, so very, very bad harvest of them. The other thing that was planted was beetroot. There's nothing to show you. They seem to just totally have disappeared, and I'm going to have to rethink my strategy about my planting things. I think the problem was I planted too late, and then I planted, and then there's a dry spell just after I planted. And so it's my own fault, indeed, in why there is a poor harvest. And in the parable of the sower, see the first picture up there, we're thinking about why, indeed, there can be different results into our sowing for harvest time. And you know this story well, boys and girls, about Jesus told about a man who went out to sow some seed, and it fell on four different types of ground. Let's quickly go over this. The next picture fell, first of all, on the pathway. In those days, people might have walked through fields, and part of the field being really hard. It fell on the pathway, and the birds thought, yummy, lunch, and they came and took the seed away, and had no chance in order to go in and to grow at all. The next fell on the rocky or the stony ground, and it came up quickly because there wasn't much depth of soil. It came up and sprouted the seed quite quickly, but when the sun came up, it withered away quickly as well and just didn't last and didn't produce any fruit. Then we have the thorns next, and this seed came up, but the thorns choked it. The thorns just suffocated the seed, and it didn't bring any fruit at all. But thankfully, there is the final ground we see, and there's the good ground, and it produced crop, like hundredfold. That means for one seed, it produced 100 seeds. Some of that, some 60 times, some 30 times, and it was really good harvest that came for the seed that landed on the good soil. So, I want to think today, what does Jesus want us to learn from this? And boys and girls, here's something you need to be aware of. Jesus told that story to people, but he didn't explain to the crowds what it meant. And it was only later, when the disciples asked him about it, that Jesus then explained to them what he meant. Now, why did Jesus do that? Sometimes we think the parables are there to help us to understand what the Bible teaches, to understand what God's truth is. And it does that. But the parables are also to test us, if we're serious. And for people who just wanted to be entertained with a nice story, that's all they got. Oh, that was a nice story that Jesus told. Don't understand what it means. And they went away. But for those who are more serious, who really wanted to do business with God and ask Jesus what it meant, Jesus revealed it. And you see, boys and girls, if you're going to benefit from Sunday school and church, from BB and GB, what's important is you need a gift. You need to be determined to learn. Because, indeed, God wants you to search after him. So, let's think of what this means. Let's go, the next picture, to that which fell on the pathway. And Jesus says, the birds which took away that seed, it speaks of people, of the devil coming and snatching away the seed from people's heart. People don't understand or don't grasp the message that's given, and because they don't understand or grasp it, it is very easy for the devil to snatch it away and them to forget about it. The reason why people don't understand or grasp the Bible teaches is because their hearts are hard. The devil is very clever. Remember, he's been at this for thousands of years. And he's cleverer than you or I or any of us are. And let's think of how some of the ways he snatches away the seed. And that's quite rough and violent. Well, let's flick on to see four tactics that he uses. When people hear the message about Jesus, the first tactic the devil would say to some people is, it's not true. Don't believe that. That's just made up. That's just like a fairy tale. Boys and girls, don't be listening to that. There is so much that proves that what the Bible says is true. So much that proves that Jesus died and rose again. There's so many records and so many people have written about that way back just after the time of Jesus. So don't listen to the devil. He'll say, it's not true. You don't have to believe this. It's not true. Second thing he'll say, it's not needed. Oh, look at you. You're a good boy. You're a good girl. You're a good adult. You don't need this gospel business. That's for those really bad people who end up in prison, those bad people who murder and steal and do stuff like that. You don't need this gospel business. Well, Jesus said to a man called Nicodemus, who would be more religious than anyone here, Nicodemus, you must be born again. You need it. For others, the devil will say, it's not possible. You be a Christian, look at the sort of person you are. Look what you have done in the past. You could never live this Christian life. The idea of you keeping it up. But boys and girls, when we come to Jesus, some wonderful things happen. And what happens is God's Spirit, the Spirit that made this world, the Spirit which Jesus brought Jesus back from the dead, he comes and lives in us. And so when the devil says, you couldn't do this, you couldn't live this Christian life, and you say, yeah, I couldn't do it. But God could do it through me by living in me. And the fourth thing the devil does, which I will say for people here today who are not Christian, this is the tactic that you're probably are listening to. Not yet. Yes, you need to be saved. I understand you need to be saved. The wee voice is saying, but someday, someday. I had a lady I worked with one time who worked in the church and would go around and visit people, and people would say, you know, someday. And she would take out her diary and say, look, I've Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. There's no someday there. Someday never comes. And if you're here today, whether young or old, and you haven't become a Christian, you say not yet, if you're thinking there's going to be another day that is better, you're fooling yourself. Because every time you hear the gospel, it impacts you. Either draws you closer to Jesus or makes your heart harder. So don't listen to what the devil is saying. He's very crafty. Don't listen. So that's the pathway. The devil snatches away. And then we go on to the rocky ground. And this is quite amazing here. This seed, it grows very quickly. And it's for people who hear the message of Jesus, they must become Christian, and say, yes, I'll have some of that. I'll become a Christian, and say they've become Christians. And they've prayed, asked maybe Jesus to save them, and it seems good, it seems real. And they're very, very excited about it. But, click on the wee caption, what we see indeed is they fall away. Falls with tribulation and persecution. When things get tough, it's proved that it's not real. Click again. We see that there is no root. It's not genuine. It was just something that maybe got moved by excitement. They got moved maybe what was going on around them. They hadn't thought it through. And it wasn't real at all. And you know, that's sad. But that is true of a lot of people. Boys and girls, many years ago, before all of you were born, oh, I feel so old, about 21 years ago, I was going around houses in a hockle when I was assistant minister in Wellington Street, visiting some people who said they were connected to Wellington Street Church. And we were talking to them about Jesus, me and a man called Bertie. And the amazing thing, there were so many of those people could say, I became a Christian on such and such a date and such a time. But they were nowhere now. They weren't trusting Jesus. They weren't following Jesus. They weren't involved in his church. It wasn't real. They hadn't been born again. God had not entered their heart. And then we see the next picture. Oh, sir, flute on there. And just reminds us that if we say we're Christians, we must persevere. We must check it's real, that we really mean that we're going to trust and follow Jesus. Let's shoot on to the thorny ground. And now what can we learn from the thorny ground? And this speaks of people again who say, I'll be a Christian, I'll follow Jesus. But Jesus says the cares of the world, the things, other things in life take over, looking for money and things like that. Shoot on the next picture there, we see some of the things that indeed take over their lives. Money becomes more important than Jesus. Family becomes more important than Jesus. A job becomes more important than Jesus. Having a nice house, a nice car, possessions, having honor and praise becomes more important than Jesus. Now, here are people who started out saying they were Christians, but it proves it wasn't real, that Jesus wasn't number one in their lives. Boys and girls, there's something else to show you here. It's a good job you're a wee bit far back here today. And that I was using this yesterday. This is my latest toy. And I was using this down at my mum's house. We don't need to use this much around the manse. In that, my mum has a big garden, and the garden has loads and loads of trees in the garden. And because it was planted many, many years ago, many of the trees are getting so big and the branches stretching out over the flower beds that a lot of things aren't able to grow because of these big things taking over the garden. So I was down using this. I was using other things, a saw and different things, and cutting down some of the branches, cutting down some trees as well, so that those things which were going over the smaller stuff would be cut back or cut away, so that the smaller stuff, when spring will come, will be able to grow and flourish and get the sun again. And boys and girls, that's what we need to do in our lives. Because if anything becomes more important to us than Jesus, it's like those big branches, those big trees coming in and blocking the sun from us, that we're not going to grow and go on with Jesus. And look at the things it could be. It could be money. It could be our family. It could be a job. It could be possessions, things we own. It could be the praise of people and honor. You're only a Christian. This is a very challenging thing. You're only a Christian if Jesus is number one. He has to be your Savior, and he has to be your Lord. The seed that fell on the thorny ground, these people said, we're Christians. We follow Jesus. But they weren't Christians, because Jesus was never number one. I was at a big meeting in Belfast this week, and one of the ministers, he was speaking about something, and he began with these words. We believe that Jesus is more important than anything. We believe that Jesus is more important than anyone. Boys and girls, adults, do you believe that? Have you really become a Christian? Is Jesus number one? Let's just think about the seed, what we're learning from this. The next picture there. And this is a danger. Jesus says that the road that leads to heaven is like that wee path on the right there. It's so narrow and few find it. But the road that leads to judgment and hell, it's so wide and most people are on it. Many people are on it who say they are Christians or they became a Christian once, but they're the stony, the rocky, and the thorny ground here. Jesus isn't number one. They have never been changed in their heart. Make sure you're on that narrow road that leads to heaven. Let's think of the last ground, straight on again, and we think about the seed. So where are you? Are you on the pathway? Have you never come to Jesus? Are you the rocky ground? You started out, but it wasn't real. Are you the thorns? Started out, but other things took over. Praise God, there is the final ground. Let's see it. We have the good ground. And in this good ground, there is much fruit. There is 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold. People's lives are changed. They love Jesus. They trust in Jesus. They live for Jesus. And day by day, they're not perfect, but bit by bit, they're becoming more like Jesus. But as I was thinking this, remember I said when we're reading it, look for something you haven't really thought of before. What I thought of, why 100 times in some, 60 times in others, and 30 in others? Why is it in some people's lives there's much more fruit than others? The next picture just shows, reminds us that we're all born again. If we truly are Christians, God's Spirit has entered every one of us. The same Spirit is in every Christian's heart. So why are some Christians much more fruitful than others? A man called Kevin DeYoung, he says this. He says, it very much depends on how close you are to the body of Christ. It very much depends on how committed you are to your church. Our final picture we see, we were thinking about this last week. The early Christians who were really fruitful, were hundredfold most of their lives, were really fruitful because they were committed to four things: apostles' doctrine, the teaching of God's word, fellowship, partnering together and being a team together for Jesus, breaking of bread, remembering Jesus' death and the Lord's Supper, and prayer, praying together that Jesus would help them. And they did that not just once, but day by day and over a long period of time. You know, farming is hard work. I have a relation of Charles who says years ago, farming was all about hard work, and today farming is all about speed. And there's a bit of truth in that, but there's still a lot of hard work in farming. The thing I discovered yesterday when I was using this big cutting machine, it's far quicker to tear things down than to build things up. Trees which have been growing for 20, 30 years, some more, in a matter of a few minutes, indeed, their branches could be cut off. In some cases, trees could be cut down. It takes very little time to pull down. It takes a long time to build up and to have a harvest. And to be a fruitful person, it takes long time in studying God's word, a long time in being partnering with God's people, in remembering Jesus' death, and in prayer together. Those things aren't exciting. I remember when I'm doing my vegetable patches, it's not exciting digging up the hard ground. It's not exciting pulling out the weeds. I remember years ago when I used to gather potatoes. Don't do much of that now. Machines have taken over. It was hard work, and at the end of the day, your back was breaking, and you went and got your pound, but you thought you were rich, the money you got for gathering the potatoes. It was hard work. The harvest comes in with hard work. And if we're going to have lives which honor Jesus, lives which draw other people to Jesus, and lives that truly show we're on the way to heaven, it takes time, it takes discipline keeping at it, it takes the hard work of really being involved with God's people in studying God's word and praying and remembering Jesus together.